I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which this episode is recorded, the Gubbi Gubbi people. I would also like to acknowledge the First Nations peoples and language groups across this entire nation in which conception, pregnancy, and sacred motherhood knowledge has been shared. We pay our deepest respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and further extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Hello, hello, and welcome! You are listening to The Oxytocin Hour. I'm your host, Dana. I'm a midwife, mum of five, and all-round oxytocin enthusiast. People are all too willing to share their negative experiences of conception, pregnancy, labour, birth, and beyond. The Oxytocin Hour is your safe haven, filled with positive experiences from mums, dads, doulas, midwives, and everyone in between. Each week we will release a new episode with the intent to uplift and inspire you. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Now, let's get into today's episode. This and every episode of the Oxytocin Hour is strictly for entertainment purposes and is not to be used as medical advice. Thank you for joining me in this solo episode, which is the episode that I retell my third pregnancy and birth story, which is, I mean, all five of them are so unique and special and amazing, but this one is just as special and unique and amazing. And it is like, out of the five, this one is a little bit different. It's probably one of the more medicalized ones, and I don't know, it just has this vibe, much like my third child as well. So I'm just going to go ahead and begin. So after I had Max and Avalon, I believe Avalon was about 10 months old, actually, when I left their father. Finally, pretty much when she was born, I was raising them on my own. Even though we were living in the same house, it was very much like solo parenting. However, I had moved 4 hours away from my family and my friends and my hometown, so it just felt especially like intense. So it was very, very dramatic how I packed up all my stuff and I fled. And I fled back to my parents' house, and I had been living there for a while. And when Avalon was 2 years old, which means that Max was five, I met Beau. And I wasn't looking for, you know, I wasn't like, oh, I want to date someone or find someone new. I literally was just like, I hated that relationship I was in, and it was so awful, and the position I was in life. And I just really was ready to make new friends and new connections as well, and hold on to the friendships that were good and let go of the ones that were crap. And I found once I could actually do that, that's when I met Beau. And we just had this most amazing connection, and he just has the most amazing heart and blah, blah, blah. I could do like 50 million episodes on how much I love that guy. But anyway, so we met and we got together. We took things very slowly in the beginning because there were children involved, and, you know, it became very obvious that we were super in love and that things were going to work out, and we just continued on. So we weren't actually planning to fall pregnant anytime soon. I guess we were kind of more talking about getting engaged and getting married and then having two more babies. We had the discussion early on. I was like, look, if you want to have kids, I would absolutely love to. I would have two more. And he was like, yep, I would love that as well. So that was definitely like part of the plan. So we went on a holiday to Thailand around our 1 year of us. Oh, actually, it was before one. It was probably 10 months of us being like boyfriend, girlfriend. We went to Thailand with his family and had a good old time there. And we came back, and a few weeks later, I found out that I was pregnant. and it was a massive shock. The reactions from a lot of people were super unfavorable, I suppose, because I didn't have a great track record with relationships and things, you know, with the last two babies and stuff. So that was pretty disappointing, especially because people can't take back their initial reactions. I always think, like, if the parents are happy, it's like such a joyous occasion, this new little soul, to be celebrated. So yeah, it was very shocking, but then it was just like, okay, here we go. I was still doing my midwifery degree and I didn't know what to do. I was like, yeah, like I think my mum was like really disappointed. She was like, what are you going to do now? Like, you're not going to finish de your degree, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'm due in February, so I'll do the rest of this year. I believe it's probably June at this point. So I'm like, oh, it must have been May or June. Shit, I can't remember. So I'll do the rest of this year. I'll do my prac at the end of the year, which will be fine, because I would have been like, I don't know, however many pregnant, 7 months or something. And then I'll have the baby in the break, and then he or she will be able to come to uni with me, because I wouldn't do prac for a little while after I started back up. So I was like, I'm not going to give up uni, I'm going to keep going. So that worked out really good. While I was at uni, it was really difficult, especially in the first stages of the pregnancy, because at 6 weeks, bang on, I was as sick as a dog. I could not move. I believe we went camping to Stradbroke Island, and I said to Beau, like, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. And it kicked in while we were over there, and I literally could not do a thing. I couldn't help him set up anything. I couldn't help with the cooking. I couldn't help with digging anything. I couldn't help with packing up afterwards. I literally just had to curl up in a camp chair and just be like, I'm sorry, I'm so sick. So this was his first experience, obviously, with pregnancy. And he was very like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. This wasn't part of the plan. Like, what are we gonna do? I'm like, well, we're just gonna have a baby. And he's like, yep, cool. And yeah, my sickness, I think, really threw him off. He didn't understand just how debilitating it can be. So from weeks six, seven, so week, yeah, week six, seven, eight, nine, 10, it was awful. And all I could eat was like Minties and like lemonade, icy poles, so lemonade ice blocks. And he'd bring them home for me, and literally, like, he'd get up and go to work. I'd be laying on the couch eating Minties. He'd go, work all day, come home. I'm just still on the same spot on the couch. I cannot move. I could take Max to school. I could do the school drop off. I would be in my pajamas. I could not walk him into class. There was no way. I would just barely be able to do the drive to school and back. And then I was like, oh shit, because I went through this with Avalon's birth, Avalon's pregnancy as well. And I was like, this could last, well, you know, past 20 weeks. But along came week 11, and I literally was like, I feel fine. And I was fine again. It was the weirdest experience, but I cannot tell you enough how intense those first weeks, or like over a month of illness, was. Like, it was just so debilitating and awful and actually traumatic. And it was traumatic for Beau as well. And I am not over exaggerating when I say that. It was awful. So just by some act of God, I was like, holy crap, I feel well. I feel well again. Like, how the hell? Like, praise God. It was amazing. So I was still, I must have been in the uni break actually. Like, just the timelines of all of this stuff just worked out perfectly. I had this sickness in the mid-year break in uni, and then as soon as we went back to uni, boom, I'm okay. I did actually have I had some pretty bad low blood pressure. So whenever we went to what was it, labs, there were no chairs or anything. This was when you would do like simulations. I had to squat down, or I had to sit in like this weird chair in the corner. And I know that people are probably looking at me like, what? Oh, she's so precious. But I would pass out if, yeah, it was just a different pregnancy. This pregnancy was hitting different. Anyway, so I finally told everyone at uni. Everyone was excited. I became really good friends with one of my, I guess, co-students, a colleague, Beck. And I was like, do you want to be my student midwife? And she was like, yes. So I was going to give birth at the Royal Brisbane through the birth centre again. But she wasn't a student there. So she was able to follow me through my pregnancy and attend, but she's not technically allowed to do like the, yeah, like go be hands-on and do any of that stuff. But she was like, absolutely, I'll follow you. Good, yay, great. So I just headed through the pregnancy. I didn't really gain much weight through this pregnancy. My belly was a lot smaller than the first two pregnancies, but I just put that down to different DNA, like different dad. And also, there was like amongst, I'm sure some people are aware of this, but like amongst a lot of midwives, there was always like this saying or this knowing that the third birth can be the wild card. So the third baby, even if the first two births were like super smooth, there's always like this talk of like, oh, it's the third baby though. Like you don't know what's going to happen. It could just, it's a wild card. Like anything can happen. And I was like, oh shit. Like this is the third baby, third birth. What if this birth isn't as smooth as the first two? And then I kind of convinced myself. This is just like really clever trickery on my brain's behalf, but I was like, no, but it's a different father, so this is technically the first birth. So I was like, and I'm only gonna have two with him, so I'm never gonna have to have that wild card third birth. Spoiler alert, I did end up having a third with him, so I'll talk about that one later. Anyway, so I was just like going through my pregnancy, I was doing prac. That was really tricky at times because I would be like supporting women during birth and just all the extra smells and being on your feet all day, plus having the low blood pressure and like all this stuff. It was a really tricky time to navigate. But I, in retrospect, oh my goodness, I did so well, like just getting through all of that. Fast forward into the end of the year, and I'm about to do my prac. I'm about to do a 4-week block prac, and I start getting itchy feet at night. And then it started being itchy hands and feet. And I was like, oh, because of being a midwifery student, I know that this is something that would be important for me to discuss with my midwife. So I was doing MGP care. I got into the birth center again, and I had three different midwives, absolutely amazing, loved them all. I was having my appointments at the hospital. When I had Avalon, I went through the Nunda team, so there was more midwives and I only had to drive to Nunda. This time I was going into the hospital, which was fine. I didn't mind that. So I was on prac and I was talking to one of the doctors about it, and they were like, oh, okay. Yeah, speak to your midwife. I text my midwife when I was on my lunch break at the hospital, and she said, just get one of the doctors there to write up like a thingy. A referral to get some bloods done to check for something called cholestasis or obstetric cholestasis, which can happen in pregnancy. And it has to do with your liver and your liver function. So what you're testing for is a liver function test. and the bile acids in your blood. So I did that, and the doctor wrote it for me, and then I went and did the bloods, I think at the end of my shift. So it all happened very fast. And then that week, so a couple of days later, it was the weekend. I was at my sister's house with my family, just I don't know why we were there. And they were like, I got a phone call from my midwife, and she was like, hey, the results came back, and you do have cholestasis. And I was like, I was really thrown off because I convinced myself that it wasn't that. So it's like I was doing the test just to be like, oh yeah, we'll just rule it out. But no, I actually did have it, and I wanted to cry because that meant, I was like, what does this mean? She goes, well, that means that we would be suggesting that you have an induction. And then, yeah, just all these other things. I was like, so I can't have a water birth. At the time, they didn't do water births if you were having an induction, which was really devastating for me because I absolutely adored my water birth. And I told Beau, he was just like, whatevs, because he was super supportive of me, but like, I mean, it didn't really mean much to him. He was like, you do what you need to do. So if it means that you're having an induction, then that's what it is, and I will support you and we'll get through it. But I was still pretty sad about it. My levels weren't that extreme, and to be honest, like in retrospect, if I was going through that situation right now, I probably would have opted for more tests towards the end of my pregnancy and probably just pushed out. I probably wouldn't have gone for an induction, to be honest. But it's easy to look back and judge yourself because I'm judging from the knowledge that I have now. But I was a different person back then. This was like 8 years ago, and I did best with the knowledge I had at the time. And I'm still proud of the way that I just took everything on. So anyway, this was like a big change, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to rewrite my birth plan. So I wrote a birth plan in regards to having an induction birth, and I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. And the policy, I went in and I spoke to my midwives, and they're like, look, the policy is like from 37 weeks and induction's recommended. But because my levels weren't that like crazy high, I was like, I feel comfortable with 38 weeks. And then my midwife was like, yeah, cool. Well, we'll speak to the doctor. And the doctor was like, yeah, I think that's reasonable as well. So we were like, yeah, cool. So we were kind of working collaboratively like that. Although, whatever I'm wanting to do, it's like they should just agree to that anyway, because I'm the one in control. But we won't go into that. Anyway, so everyone's cool. The plan is going well. I did my 4 week block of prac, and it was intense. Like, it was hard work. I did 5 shifts a week. And it was just, yeah, it was a lot, but it was leading up to Christmas, and Christmas is my favorite time of the year, and it was just like this big whirlwind of like amazingness. And I finished like 3 days before Christmas, and then Beau got surgery on his knee. The house flooded. So we were sleeping on a mattress in the lounge room, because all the carpets needed to be redone, and like it was pure chaos. And then on Christmas morning, we woke up and unwrapped presents, and then Beau got down on his good knee and proposed, and it was like, oh, I was on such a high. Like, it was such a beautiful time in our lives. So we got engaged, and that was great. So I would have been, oh my goodness, how pregnant would I have been? I must have been about 31 weeks at the time or something. I think that sounds about right. Anyway, so in we head to January, early January, I noticed that my baby, actually, can we just jump back? Can we jump back to when I, like before I had my morphology scan, we did a gender reveal party. And we decided to go with the cake. And because I found out with Max, Avalon was a surprise, I thought, let's just find out this time, but do a gender reveal. And Bo's like, yeah, cool. Cause he wanted to find out what it was. So we had like a get together with his family and my family and, you know, had like snacks and this big ass cake and we cut it and it was pink inside. So we're having a baby girl. And in my head, when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh, I hope it's a boy. Cause I just ask a billion questions because I just want to know, like, if I really like you, I'm like, I want to know all about you. And I was just so in love with him. I'm like, so if you always imagine just having two kids, like, what do you think that they'd be? He's like, well, I always wanted a boy and a girl, but two boys would have been really cool too. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, oh, you're so going to have a girl first. If you say you have a preference for a boy, you're going to get a girl. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't care either way. So it was a girl, but we were both kind of hoping for a boy, but like, I could not imagine having a son in that position now. Like she was so perfect. Like we needed a girl there. Anyway, so we knew we're having this baby girl. And so back to January. Yeah. Like one day she was just really, really active and like moving around in my belly. And I thought, this is really strange. And I went to go see my midwife for like just a usual routine checkup and she did a palpation and she's like, I think this baby's breached. And I was like, I think she is too. And it was confirmed that she was breached. And I was like, oh fuck, like this throws a massive spanner in the works because they will not induce you if you're pregnant with a breech baby. So they're like, it's either cesarean or this baby needs to turn. And I was like, holy shit, I don't know what to do. So like it did put a degree of pressure on me. And I did a lot of spinning babies and it's so hard for me to explain. And I just, if you're in the same position or know someone that's in it, like I don't know how to get across to you. It doesn't help to be like, oh my God, I need this baby to turn or like whatever. It's like, okay, you're not in the position that I want you to be in at the moment, and that is okay. It's what I wanted to happen, but I was okay. I wasn't attached to the outcome, so I had no fear about a cesarean because I was like, no, you don't need to be born like that. So let's just roll with it anyway. So I just encouraged her to move back. And I spoke to her and I was like, what's going on, honey? Like, what do you want to do? Anyway, I don't remember when she did it, but I must have been, I'm just trying to think. I must have been like 35 weeks or something. And she turned back to head down. I think she had a lot of room to move in there. As I said, she was quite a little baby and my tummy was not big. She just moved back to head down and I was like, what the hell? it was the strangest thing. But I was like, yes, of course you will. I just knew that she would. And so there was that thing that came and went. We did like the birth classes at the hospital, which was super cool because the midwife that was doing them, Jill, was actually the midwife when I had Avalon. So, excuse me. That was really, really like full circle. That was really special to me. And like I introduced her to Bo and stuff. And like, I don't know, it was just this really cool point in my life as well. So we did the classes. Bo felt like really good. He also felt really confident in me because he was like, you've done this before. And I know you have so much trust in yourself and your ability. I know that this experience is going to be amazing. He just felt so led by me, but still protective and proactive as well. So we hit 37 weeks, all was well. We did more bloods, like, yeah, they were still sitting okay. And then, yeah, then we got to 38 weeks and we were like, okay, what are we gonna do? It was, so I arrived at the hospital in the afternoon with my stuff. Bo was very excited, but I could tell he was so nervous. And we got there and the midwife did like a palpation of my tummy and a vaginal exam. And she said, like, you're not dilated at all, so like we won't be able to break your waters or anything, so we'll put gel in. And then in 6 hours from now, we'll put gel in again and check to see if you're dilated. And if you are, then we can break your waters and blah blah blah. But anyway, the first step was the gel. And so she palpated my tummy and she's like, oh, this baby actually, I don't know if it's engaged at all. And I like, she was still quite movable in my pelvis, but then, and she did feel a little bit like tilted to the side, but I just like kind of helped her head back and she was just boom, like down, ready to go. And I remember thinking, oh gosh, like outside of this, like down the track, when I always think, oh, why did I agree to an induction? Because I actually had a lot of mental work to deal with after that because I was like, I felt like I was forcing her to be born, if that made sense. And that was actually really hard for me as a person to deal with afterwards because I felt bad for being like, you need to be born. Beyond the medical reason and whatever, I still felt like it wasn't that justified and I felt really awful about it. But then I thought, actually, because she was so easily moved around and whatever, I'm like, maybe she would have moved, like, I don't know. I'm just a huge believer that whatever's meant to be will be. So that really helped in my healing journey with accepting, you know, like why I made the decision to be okay with an induction. Anyway, she put the gel in. It was very irritating to my vaginal walls. I was like, shit, it just felt really stingy, and like the outside of my vagina felt like, well, my labia, my vulva, it felt really, 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 really tender after having that gel on there. Well, not that the gel is supposed to be applied on the outside, but I think a little bit got on there, like as it came. Anyway, whatever, my vagina was a bit sore. And then we were put into the room, like the birth center room, not actually on the ward. And we sat there and we just hung out and we had dinner. We walked down the halls to try, like the corridors to try get things moving. Nothing was really happening. I was having some niggles, but it wasn't like really, really happening. So whatever. Then we just rested. Then it was time for the reinsertion. And after she did that, I was like, so this is the second dose that I had applied to my cervix, and I was like, ooh, so I'm having some niggles. But the midwife was like, oh, is it just like, because there's something called like prostin pains that you can have. It's just like the areas aggravated by the gel, but it's not actually labor. She's like, is it just that? I'm like, oh yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, I don't think it was. But anyway, so I was like, oh yeah, it could just be that. So we just rested, waited, and still nothing was really happening. It was about midnight by this point. And I messaged Beck and I messaged Maddie, my birth photographer, and just said, look, the gel's just gone in. They're going to send me up to the ward to just go to sleep. You guys just get some sleep and I'll get Bo to message or call you if things are happening. And they were like, yep, cool, great, awesome. So we went up to the ward and I finally got put into a bed and Bo said goodbye to me. And the midwife's like, yeah, you may as well just like go home, Bo. And then we'll call you in the morning to come back. And then we'll, you know, do the breaking of the waters and then put the drip up and all that sort of stuff. And he was like, okay, cool. And she left and he was like saying goodbye to me. And I was like, you're not leaving. And he was like, huh? And I said, I know when it's on, it'll be on. I need you close. Can you please just sleep in the car? And he was like, yep, no problem. So we had the car in the big car park, like paid parking, and on the very top level. And he was just like, that's cool. I'll just sleep in the car and you just call me when you need me. And I was like, yep. It just felt safer, but I just knew. My intuition was like, don't send him all the way home because it's a big drive. And if he has to come in the morning, it's like morning traffic, which means that it would take him like over an hour to get there. And I did not want to risk that. Anyway, so he went and slept in there, and I just laid down in the bed. And they're like, "We're just gonna check your observations like every so often and just see what happens." I was like, "Cool." So lights were off. I was lying on my side, and I was still having these pains. They were coming and going, but I didn't have to breathe through them or anything. I was just like, "Oh yeah, like that's a bit uncomfortable, but I could still deal with it." And coming and going, coming and going. And then, like I got up and go to the toilet, and I had like loose bowel motions. And if you've listened to my other solo episodes about my two previous births, that was like a telltale sign for both of them that I was like about to enter like proper labor. So I was like, my body just emptied itself out. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Hop back in the bed. I would like drift off, but then wake up. I don't even know, like, I could not tell you what time it was at this point or like for how long I'd been doing this. But the midwife came back and took my obs, and I just like didn't really say. She's like, "Oh, are you feeling anything?" I'm like, "Oh, no, not really." She's like, "Okay." So she went away. Then I got up to go to the toilet again, and I had a little bit of my show. And while I was in there, it fucking hurt. And I was like, "Oh, okay. I think I might actually be going into labor just from the gel." So when I hop back into bed, I text Beau and I was like, "Honey, can you? I think I need you." Or I was like, "It's really hurting." He's like, "Do you want me to come back in?" I was like, "Yes, please." He must have only slept for like half an hour or an hour. And he's like, "Okay, I'm coming right now." So he didn't even like speak to them. I was like, "I just need you." And then as soon as I sent that, I buzzed the midwife, and then Beau texts me. He's like, "Do you want me to call Maddie and Beck?" I was like, "Yes, please." So he's now contacting the student midwife and the birth photographer. So I'm just laying in bed, just like allowing everything to come and go and just breathing through it. And I had like this older mid, so I had an older midwife and a really young midwife looking after me on the ward. And the older one came in. She's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "I think things are happening." And she was like, "Oh, okay." And then the young one came, and the younger one was like, "Oh, I'll just palpate. So I'll just feel your tummy for any contractions and see what's happening." I was like, "Yes, please." So she did that. And I was just like, every time they come, I was just like I was doing some really beautiful breathing and a little bit of rocking at this point. And she just sat there with me nice and quietly. I was in a 4-bed bay. The woman next to me, which I can't see because all the curtains are closed, was on the phone to like. She was on the phone the whole fucking time, like talking to relatives or something. I believe she was speaking a different language. I don't know where from. It was just so like incessant. And I kind of feel like it's probably better if I can't understand what she's saying instead of like her being like, I don't know, talking about something stupid. But I was like, "Can you just stop? Like, shut up. I'm trying to, get in the zone here, lady." Anyway. So she's just happily sitting there palpating, and then the older midwife comes in with Beau, and she's like, "Oh, your partner's here." I was like, "Yes, thank you." He's like, "How you doing, sweetie?" And I like would put my arms around the back of his neck and just kind of like just sort of rested my weight on him. I was like, "Whoa, this is really hurting, honey." And the midwife was like, "You're having 4 contractions in 10 minutes, and they're lasting for like well over a minute, and they're like strong. You're in labor." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." So at this point, it's like 4:15 in the morning. It's 4:15. Yeah, Beau must have gone up to the car at like 3 a.m., 2:30 or 3 or something like that. And I was like, "All right, sweet." So they said, "Do you want us to call your midwife to come in? Like, do you just want to wait in the bed for your midwife to come get you and then she'll take you down to birth suite? Or do you want to head down there now?" I'm like, "Just call her and I'll go when she comes." And they're like, "Okay, cool." So both midwives leave and leave Beau with me. And I just was breathing through stuff and chatting to him in between. And I was like, one of the the younger midwife came back and she goes, okay, she's on her way. And I was like, take me to birth suite now. And she's like, oh, okay. So the older midwife got a wheelchair, and because they're like, oh, let's walk down. And I was like, I need a chair, I can't walk. And they're like, fuck. You can... like, okay. This is literally all within the space of like 10 minutes now that this has happened. And yeah, so she got the wheelchair for me. I sat in it, got all my stuff. They wheeled me down. Before she, the older midwife was like driving like a lunatic, that she literally ran my wheelchair into the side of a wall mid contraction. And I was like, ah, it fucking hurt. So that wasn't fun. Get in the elevator, we're rushing down. I get into birth suite 5. Now, because it was an induction, I wasn't able to birth in the actual birth center rooms. I was in the birth suite rooms, which was fine by me, like whatever. Anyway, so I'm in there and everything's happening. And then the birth suite midwife that was going to look after me, it must have been very quiet that night, or that early morning in birth suite, because there was quite a few midwives with me, which, you know, obviously means there's not a lot going on elsewhere. So two midwives were with me in birth suite, the team leader and then like just the one that was going to look after me until my actual midwife arrived. And they were like, oh my gosh, like, how are you going? And I just couldn't really talk very much because these contractions were coming in hard and fast and very close together, and I think that's because of the prostaglandin gel. It didn't feel how my natural births came on. It was just a lot more like high intensity. So I went up to the edge of the bed and just leaned on the edge of the bed, and while I was standing, and just rocked from side to side, like figure eight hips, and I was like making noises and breathing. And they were like, okay, Dana, do you want to hop up onto the bed? I was like, nope. Like, okay. I could sense, I feel like I'm pretty good at picking up on, you know, the other people's tone and their facial expressions and stuff. And these people were freaking out. I was going to have a baby like that second. She asked Bo to take my pants off. And I was like, she really should just be asking me, but fucking whatever, take them off. Took my pants off, and I was just wearing like a bralette and like a, what do you call it? Like a little kimono. It wasn't an actual kimono because I'm not Japanese. Like sort of silky dressing gown thing, a short one. Anyway, so I'm just like rocking side to side, and then my midwife arrived and I was like, thank fuck. I don't know how close she lives to the hospital, but she was quick, bless her. And I was very, very, very thankful for that because I felt so much safer having her there. Anyway, so she was there and I felt a little bit more of a sense of relief. Things were getting intense. She's like, how do you want to labor? Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I just want to be on the floor. So she pushed out one of those like thin mattresses and then a bean bag. So Bo sat in the bean bag and I just crouched down next to him, and I was just sort of leaning on him, having my arms around him, sort of just being in his lap. Like, it just felt so good to be close to him like that. And I think he felt really useful, you know, that he could be there for me physically, because I know it can feel very awkward if you're a support person and you're just like, I don't know what to do and I don't want to look like I'm doing nothing. So he had his place, and I could tell he felt comfortable and like he was, yeah, really helping. Then Beck arrived and it was go time. I was like, I'm feeling pressure. And they're like, oh, okay. My waters were still intact. But I was like, yeah, I think we're having a baby, guys. So I had my arms around Bo's waist while he was sitting in the beanbag, and I was on my knees, forward leaning into his lap. And he was just kind of sitting up and like, you know, rubbing my back and stuff. And I was pushing. I was, had never actually really felt such extreme fetal ejection reflex, but there we were. And yeah, like pushing her, and like then my membranes were like bulging out of my vagina. So I know that her head, so she was crowning, you couldn't see any forehead, but you could see, you know, like, yes, her crown, with the waters like just bulging out of my vagina, and then the contraction went and she just kind of sat there. I really wish we got a photo of that, but my photographer hadn't arrived yet and we just didn't even think to use a phone. Like, this literally just happens so quickly. I think we got down into birth suite at about 4:30. Must have been about 4:30 we arrived down there, and I was pushing at 4:40. So 10 minutes, like, this is just like in 10 minute increments, all this shit is happening. So it's probably about 4:50 at this point, or yeah, 4:50-ish. And no, it's probably even a little bit later, 4:55 or something. Anyway, not relevant. With the next push, there was this massive pop and a splash. And Bo later said, he was like, what the fuck? He looked up and the midwife just got sprayed with amniotic fluid. And she was like, oh, good, great. And he was thinking, what the hell? Why is this woman saying that that's good and great? Like, that's disgusting. She's like, it's nice and clear. So like, baby's happy. All is good. I did have a CTG on because it was an induction. But as far as inductions went, holy shit, like, that's what you would want to happen. Like, I didn't need my waters broken. I didn't need the drip or anything. Also, the gas was like hooked up. Because when I arrived into birth suite, one of the midwives was like, here, take this. And I was like, I don't want that. I hate that when people just give stuff. Like, if I asked for it, yes. But anyway, big pop, and the rest of her head was born. And immediately she cried. And it, when I tell you, it was the strangest feeling in the world to have a little itty bitty human inside of your womb with their head only out of your vagina and crying. It's like I could feel the vibration of her chest, like crying. I could feel her legs and her hands and arms moving inside of me while she was crying. It was the weirdest, most incredible feeling in the fucking world, I have to tell you. Anyway, so her head was just out, and then we just waited. And then with the next contraction, I pushed and out she came. And she was brought up between my legs, and I held her absolutely like covered in vernix, because 38 weeks and one day she was, and she was born at 5:01. So it was a 50 minute labor from being like, holy shit, I'm in labor, to her coming out. It was just such a blur. And I know Bo was like, wow, okay. Wow, we just had a baby. That was crazy. So I just held her and cuddled her and just looked at her little face. I was like, I said to Bo, she's so pretty. Like, she's just this little dolly. Well, I didn't think she was little at the time. I was like, oh, she doesn't look that much smaller than what Avalon was. I'm so shit at predicting my baby's weights. I can predict or guess other people's babies' weights when they're born, and I'm pretty spot on. My own babies, I have no idea. I thought Avalon was tiny and she was like 9 pound 13, and I thought Aluna was bigger, and so they put her on the scales, I don't know, like well over an hour after she was born. The birth photographer entered the room at like 5. There's a picture of it. I think it's like 5:09 or something. So she got lots of photos just after the birth, like fresh after. But gosh, it would have been cool to get, her head like end call. But anyway, so yeah, we weighed her and she was 2.9 kilos, so she was 6 pounds 7. And yeah, just this little dolly and so petite, and she was brunette. The other two were blonde. Like this little dark beauty, and she had these gorgeous little eyelashes, and I just thought, oh my lordy, I am so in love. And I remember Beau, I was laying in the bed afterwards, just having something to eat and drink, and he was sitting right next to me, having skin to skin with her. I'd had my shower. We were giggling in the shower, like Beau and I were giggling, because, like, I remember when I came out, Beck said to me, she was like, it was the sweetest thing listening to you guys just gushing and laughing and just like so joyous about what just happened. Like, it was the nicest thing to hear, which was really sweet for her to say, and such a nice memory. And yeah, he was having skin to skin with her and looking at her, and I said to him, do you remember, when we had been together for a little while, and you're now a stepdad to Max and Avalon, even though it's my boyfriend, but that sort of figure. And I'm like, I know you say that you love these kids, and I believe that you do, because he's like, I do. I want to protect them, like I love them. And I'm like, but just wait till we have our own baby and you watch a baby be born and form that attachment and bond from the beginning. Like, it will feel like this crazy love. And I said to her, remember when I said that to you? Do you get it now? Do you get the importance of being here, being present at this birth and watching me go through this and then getting to hold this fresh new life? And he was like, I get it. Like, I get it. It's crazy just witnessing what just happened. Like, it is absolutely a miracle to watch this birth unfold and to meet this new life. Like, it is insane. It was just such a beautiful experience. I feel like I really made this birth story so choppy and changey because I want to talk about when the placenta came. That which was before I had my shower and before we weighed her. She stayed attached to the cord for a very, very long time. And I didn't have the injection in my thigh. I actually had a physiological third stage, quote unquote. So birth of the placenta, which was lovely. You don't see that much, especially in a hospital, especially with an induction. But we did it. And I just had to stand up to allow for a bit of gravity, and there was a couple of forceps attached to the cord, and it just fell out. And Beau was absolutely disgusted. wow, it just plonked in there and sprayed blood everywhere. But anyway, so we kept that placenta as well. And one other really funny thing that happened in labor was when we. Straight, like we got into the birth suite and things were chaotic. And Beau was like, oh my gosh. Well, I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I haven't brushed my teeth and my breath is grossing me out. Like, it was just grossing me out because I hadn't brushed my teeth. So I was like, can you get me some gum? So he went over, he got into the bag, he popped a piece of gum in his mouth, and then he brought over a piece of gum to me. And it's. As soon as I put the gum in my mouth and started chewing, I was like, huh? No, I can't. I can't stand the smell. It makes me feel sick. Get it away. And then he was like, oh shit. So he like sheepishly like spat the gum out of his mouth and like tried to scrape his tongue because he's like, oh no, it's gonna make him feel sick. Bless him. What an amazing first birth to witness, like as a dad, to just be like, what's going on? She had a fast, fiery, quick arrival to the world, and on the new moon, and I like literally wouldn't have it any other way. Like, she is a pocket rocket, as I like to call her, a tiny little full of fire, full of energy. Beautiful, charismatic little soul she is. And it was, yeah, I mean, that was her unique birth story and it was beautiful. So after that, Beau went and got Max and Abby and brought them to hospital to meet their new baby sister, and they got to have cuddles and thought she was amazing. And then the five of us drove home together as a little family, and we spent our very first night with our baby asleep in our own bed at home, cuddled up, just loving. Oh my God, such a good time. And that is the birth story of a Luna Hope, and we call her Lulu. And she is just the coolest thing in the world, and I love her, and I really love her birth story. I did have a little bit of stuff to work through psychologically again, like as I said, with the induction and everything, but I've come to a place now where it is what it is. That's what was meant to happen. That was her initiation into the world. And I just know she's gonna do big, amazing, great things. And I can't wait to tell you guys the story of my next birth as well. But I would also like to do a recap of this birth with Beau to get his perspective, because that will be super funny and super interesting too. So thank you so much for listening. And yeah, if you have anything to tell me or anything to say, can you please DM me and let me know? Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to share the love or get in contact with us for feedback or a chance to be a guest on the show, you can contact us at www.daisy.com.au. That's www.daisy.com.au. Or on our Instagram at the Oxytocin Hour, all one word. I appreciate you taking the time to tune in, and I hope you've gained something positive from listening. Until next time!